Brothers and sisters, when I was in college, one of my friends had a poster above his desk, and it was a spoof of those successories posters that you often see. You know, the ones with the picture of some sort of a scenic thing and then some kind of a catchphrase that's meant to motivate you. And my friend's poster said, "Procrastination. Hard work often pays off after time, but laziness always pays off now." Now, this poster certainly has a humor value, and I won't deny that. But what an awful philosophy to live by. Now, why do I say that? Well, oftentimes when we procrastinate, when we put off a large and daunting task, we usually do a sloppy job, don't we? And furthermore, when we procrastinate, we often do so for selfish reasons. See, nobody puts off a big paper that's due so that they can do more math homework, or nobody puts off a project at work so that they can do some other task related to their job. No, we usually put off the big essay, the big paper, so that we can go spend time at the mall with our friends, or so that we can watch the latest episode of Hannah Montana Forever, or so that we can go see Inception in the theater. At work, we don't put off that task to do more work. We put it off so that we can get home early, so that we can beat traffic or go golfing. Well, then what happens? When we realize that that big essay is due tomorrow, so we pull an all-nighter and we hand in a rather sloppily constructed essay. Or we show up at work the next day and we're stressed to get our work accomplished on time, so we cut a corner or two in order to get our task accomplished. And in either case, the work that we've done doesn't represent our best work, does it? No. Our best work is the paper that we've spent weeks or months or even years writing. Our best accomplishments at work are the big tasks that we've worked on for a long time. And these are usually the projects of which we're most proud. They're the ones that we commemorate by putting up a plaque or a trophy or a diploma, right? Well, friends, so it goes with the spiritual life. Last week, we heard Jesus talk about storing our treasures in heaven. And this week, we hear him tell us to provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief or moth can destroy. He then gives us this parable of the servants awaiting their master's return. And in this parable, he warns us against procrastination, against the temptation to neglect our duty in order to go out and have fun, to party and to drink. Here's why. When we neglect our duty to build treasure in heaven, we end up handing in a rather sloppy assignment to God, a task that was haphazardly pieced together. Friends, have you ever waited till the very end of the day to pray? I've done this at times, and let me tell you what happens. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, and I can't really focus on my prayer. And I rush through my prayers, less focused on my relationship with God and more focused on spending time with St. Celie of Posturepedia. And I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm not the only one who's experienced this. Friends, I think we all know that this type of experience that I just mentioned hardly represents an ideal relationship with God. Now, what it represents is someone who's not been prepared, someone who is not taking care of his spiritual life throughout the day, and then trying to do the minimum by sneaking in God to a busy schedule. And today Jesus warns us that we need to be prepared. We need to be found hard at work when the Master returns. As I heard these words, I couldn't help but think of the late Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago in the 90s. Cardinal Bernardin wrote a small spiritual biography called The Gift of Peace, and it instantly turned into a national bestseller. Friends, if you haven't had the opportunity to read this book, let me highly recommend that you run out after Mass and buy it. Cardinal Bernardin begins this book by talking about a time when he realized that he was in a spiritual crisis. His work as bishop and his demanding schedule left him little time for prayer. And one time when he was having dinner with some of his younger priests, he mentioned this, and they immediately gave him that swift kick in the rear that we so often need. And they told him that he needed to make prayer a priority in his life. The work, the busyness of life, all that needed to be put aside, and time needed to be made for prayer. Unfortunately, the cardinal took his priest's word to heart, and he changed his life. He decided that no matter what, the first hour of his day would belong to God. You see, he recognized that he needed to begin to build up that treasure in heaven, the treasure that no moth could destroy. And lucky for him, he came to this realization when he did, because it wouldn't be long before the thief visited him. Twice. The first time came when he was falsely accused of sexual abuse, and the second time when he learned that he had cancer. And in recounting both of these incidents, Cardinal Bernardin mentioned how important it was for him to have been prepared to face the thief by having developed a strong spiritual life. He found this so true that in his book, he urges people not to put off their spiritual life until the end, when the thief comes, because it may be too late. And this is especially true, he says, when it comes to prayer. And he writes, quote, "I remember telling friends who came to visit me, pray while you're well, because if you wait until you're sick, you might not be able to do it. They looked at me astonished. I said, I'm in so much discomfort that I can't focus on prayer. My faith is still present. There's nothing wrong with my faith. But in terms of prayer, I'm just too preoccupied with the pain." End quote. Friends, let me suggest that Cardinal Bernardin is doing nothing more than reiterating the words of Jesus in the gospel to be vigilant. See, the Boy Scouts have it right. We need to be prepared. Imagine if the cardinal had never had that conversion about his prayer life, if he'd never had that conversation with his priests. I wonder if he would have been prepared when the thief came. Would he have had the spiritual tools necessary to keep his faith? Or would the thief have taken that from him too? But because he was vigilant, because he took time to store up treasure in heaven, what he found was that he had a treasure that no thief could reach. Rather than being robbed by the thief, he was like the good steward we heard about in the gospel, whose master returned at an unknown hour. And instead of finding himself being robbed, what he experienced was his master, Christ Jesus, ministering to him, taking care of him. Friends, the transforming power of today's gospel is that God wants to tend to our needs. He wants to be the master who finds his servants vigilant and then invites them to recline at table with him while he waits on them. But he can only do this if we lay the proper foundation, if we're vigilant and constantly awaiting his return. Friends, be vigilant. Don't procrastinate in developing a strong prayer life. It may seem like the laziness is paying off now, but when the thief comes, you may find that he robs you of everything. Don't let that happen. Instead, follow Christ. Provide money bags for yourself that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach, nor moth destroy.